Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Alrighty then.
What if Zoom was one of us? Just a boom like one of us.
Well, there you go.
Yes.
You know what I'm going to do? Hold on just a second.
All right, do it. I mean, I don't know what you're going to do, but...
All yes, right, so I ended up just taking off my headphones because it was such a pain in the ass.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, yeah, I'm like, I can't hear what Steve's saying. It's weird how this... I can hear you, but I can't hear myself.
Yeah.
So, which makes Zoom really annoying in that...
That's why it's actually best to just use a headset.
Yeah, I know. Well, I don't have one. All I have are microphones. Mm. I'm not a gamer, dude. I'm not sitting there trying to pwn the noobs, as the parlance goes.
And now in the end, you look like a noob.
I do. Headset. See? Isn't that what they say on Big Bang Theory? I'm going to go pwn some noobs.
I don't know what they say on Big Bang Theory other than Baz Doper.
Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe. Chipapo.
Wow, we're starting off our podcast that's probably got the most jam-packed with information with Big Bang references.
Finally. Now we'll be popular.
Now we'll be popular. So
all we need to do is reference more Big Bang Theory.
Okay, so I got two big things you want to talk about. Do you want to talk about them in kind of chronological order?
Sure. Okay. You'll have to arbitrate the chronological order, though.
Okay. Well, I mean, I guess it's in kind of, but I wanted to start off by saying that now officially Gen Con for 2020 has been canceled.
Oh yeah. It's funny. Cause when you said that, I was like, I already thought that happened.
No, it's a big deal. And especially because like I have family in Indiana and they're all excited because everything is opening up in Indiana. And I was like, maybe they're not going to cancel Gen Con this year. And it was like, almost as soon as I said that, the thing popped up saying like, Gen Con is canceled. Canceled, canceled, canceled.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't advise going in the middle of what is no doubt going to be a completely brutal second wave in a wide open red state. Sounds like a bad idea.
Well, yeah, it's a, kind of, yeah. I mean, I'm a, you know, at this point, I'm just like, just give it to me. Just let's get this over with.
I'll die.
if I die, I die.
Yeah, I'm cool with, you know, not having diminished lung capacity for the rest of my life. It's fine.
Well,
find that not happening.
Who knows? Who knows? Are they sending you back to work on June 1st?
I don't know. I'll probably be issuing an ultimatum with them. I will not be going back on June 1st.
Well, that's, you know what? Take your stand. I will not be going back June 1st because literally the school year ends, I think, on June 10th for me. So I'm kind of like, meh. I don't think they're going to open up the building for teachers to go in at that point. So.
Especially because my business operating would be a violation of the CDC guidelines because there'd be more than 10 people in the building.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if they might say like, we're only allowing 5 people in at a time. If you had to go back in one day a week, would you do it?
Well, here's the long and short is if they follow the CDC guidelines to the letter, I will comply with that. If they do not follow the CDC guidelines, I will not be going back.
Yeah.
So if they say like, we're going to have a rotating staff of only 5 people in the building because we have such a hard on of trying to get people back into the building for no good reason. Sure. Like fine. But I was at home in the middle of a pandemic. I was first in my location in sales and second in the entire company in sales during the pandemic. So I'll be like, I work more efficiently at home. So if you want to leave the money on the table, that's fine. I will take the unemployment with the $600 extra and I'll cash out my 401k.
Are you sitting there like Jim, Bubby, I got to make a deal for you right now. Do you use the word Bubby when you're making your sales calls?
You know, I probably should. I should probably say Bubby. Hans, Bubby. I'm your white knight. Yeah, I got, you know what, that's what it is. I don't do enough cocaine to naturally say Bubby.
That, you know, that's true. You that's don't
the, there there's that there like there you have to hit the threshold of how much cocaine you use before your body just naturally starts making the noise, because you're not actually saying the word. It's like a side effect of the cocaine. You just
like Tourette's,
Bub, yeah,
like like a cocaine inspired Tourette's.
Yeah, kind of. And you involuntarily say Bubby.
Wow. You know, I'm just excited to be able to leave my house. That's what I'm excited about. I mean, I have nowhere I want to go. Like, I don't have like, I got to get into Joann Fabrics, but I got to, you know, I'm just excited to like maybe go to a park or something like that.
I've been doing that all along. You just don't go near people.
Well, but I mean, they've closed off a lot of parks out here. Like, you can't even go to like a playground.
Oh, I guess like an actual like little kid park. I thought you meant like going out in nature.
Oh, this isn't nature. This is prefabricated West Chicago suburban nature. Yeah, it's been rough over at my house, at the Joe house. We're going a little stir crazy here.
Yes. Well, I do not have things here that drive me stir crazy. I only have positive vibes here.
Positive vibes.
Positive vibes only.
Yeah. So this is actually going to be pretty huge for Indy. You know, they, what was it like 2 or 3 years? It was 3 years ago. They went through the, or maybe it was even 4 years ago. They had the issue with the LGBTQ law that went to effect in Indiana.
Oh yeah, it's true. I remember that.
And then they, you know, countered. They were like, okay, well, actually they doubled down on Indianapolis after that, because they re-signed the contract and Indianapolis promised that they were going to build more hotels. Mm. Like, they were going to increase capacity in the city almost because of Gen Con.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty interesting.
I got to say, the fact that Gen Con's been in Indianapolis is so bizarre anyway. Like, it's such a shit city. Like, why would you pick that for your convention center?
Probably because they get a shit ton of breaks on, like, cost.
Yeah, that's probably it.
You know, you don't have to get the big fat guy on the Chicago, the big fat union teamster, so, you know, with the sausage hanging out of his mouth and at Rosemont going, I could set up that table, but, yeah, I don't want to.
You'd actually have to pay me to do that.
We do pay you to do that.
You got to pay me on time.
Exactly. Like, I think that's part of it, because I think they use probably a lot of Indiana.
Indiana locals / Indiana illegals?
Well, maybe, but I think it's a lot cheaper in Indiana. And I think that, you know, they do have a decent hotel.
When your state's a shithole, you can't demand as much money.
Well, and I think that they hold Indiana ransom on a lot of things. I think because, you know, that's a huge weekend for them. You know, you're getting in I don't know, what's the usual attendance? It's like 50, 60,000 people there on a regular for over a weekend. That's huge for the economy. I mean,
I'm going to look, because if I remember correctly, the growth actually did happen last year, but it was like minimal. Hurry. Okay. Oh, no, it was a fuck ton. Okay. So the attendances of Gen Con are all approximate. They don't they don't have actual attendance, which is weird. But so
they probably just go off ticket sales more than anything.
Yeah. But then how is it approximate?
Because there's people who like to sneak in like I do.
I guess. Yeah, I remember your bootleg printed printed thing one, which was pretty funny. So 2018 had over 62,000. 2019 had 70,000.
Wow.
70,000-esque.
Yeah.
So yeah,
that's a fuck ton of people. And you know that these people aren't Indiana natives. They're not locals. They're going there. It's a destination. They're paying money for hotels and everything else, and they're pumping money into the economy of Indianapolis.
Oh yeah, there's probably what, like 100 locals maybe.
Probably a little bit more than that, but I mean
that wasn't unlike everything else I've said about Indiana. That was not a dig. I was just going on population. There's not a lot of people who live in Indiana.
Well, so. You know, but I mean, also I consider local population to also be Chicago as well, because there are a lot of people that just day trip it out to Indianapolis. It's like a 3-hour drive. You go down there for a day, and then
every single person who listens to us who lives in Europe or the UK just heard local in 3-hour drive, and it's just like their tea exploded in their hand.
Their monocle fell into their teacups.
Yes, their monocle fell into the teacup. The teacup exploded. Yeah, I remember. Whoop. that was the largest culture shock that I had when I was talking to someone for the first time when I was playing Dawn of War. I was talking to a guy from the UK. And I was talking about how far it was to like go to my local Games Workshop, where I was like 45 minutes away. And he's like, what? He was like mind boggled that I couldn't just like get out my door and like go walk a little bit and reach the Games Workshop store.
No.
Yeah, everything is super far.
Our country is gigantic and dumb. I'm like in kind of like a GW like weird dead spot because I'm like equidistant from three Games Workshops, but they're all like about like 25 to 30 minutes from my house.
Oh yeah, until Grognard opened, I was I had the weird dead zone of I was equidistant between every game store that existed. It didn't matter what it was. Didn't matter if it was a GW store or a independent retailer. It was just like every store was at least 30 minutes away in whatever direction.
There's actually a game store like 3 minutes from my house, but I don't go there that often.
Well, I mean, because you got to have a game store that has minis, which is rare.
That is rare. Yeah. I mean, they have some, but it's not like, but I don't buy minis. What are you talking about?
If you would be going to a game store, it would have to have minis in the first place.
Yes.
If you were going to a game store, which you wouldn't because, I mean, you have enough miniatures. Like
I am done with minis.
You have enough.
Stupid toy soldiers. Dumb babies.
Other than your 15mm Scots, which you need to paint in the as if you'll ever find an opponent.
I love Tabletop Inquirer, but sometimes, man, I feel like those are just hitting a little too close to home.
That was a targeted attack ad.
That was a targeted attack ad.
Yes.
My opponent Joe thinks that people are gonna play 15mm Scots against him.
Yeah, look at that idiot painting, slaving away on those tiny men.
All I took was my plague marines that I got from the box set, and I just sprayed them green and dunked them in brown.
All I brought was the plague marines I picked up from that garage sale that I never finished painting, and I've played more games than Joe ever will with his Scots.
I just dip them. It's just, they blind me with their shininess.
Nobody needs to dip anymore.
People do, though.
But why? Now
I don't, because people are dumb.
It's pointless now. Like, there was plenty. There used to be a lot of justification for dipping. And you could do it right where you didn't leave them as, like, a glossy mess. But now there's so many options on how to get your models painted fast. Dipping just seems a little unnecessary.
I think it's all unnecessary. It's a stupid hobby. I'm done with this podcast. Click.
All right, see ya.
Joe's just angry at the world right now. No, I'm not angry at the world because actually I was able to book a haircut, so I'm excited about that.
It's funny. Like, I've been cutting my own hair for so long, or having Cole cut my hair. So I'm just like, what? Oh, that's right. People don't cut their own hair because they just shave my head. I just grabbed the buzzer and just wait. And I've been doing that for years and years. So that's such an alien thing to me now.
I do so much. I have to do so much PR with my work that it's like I have to look at least somewhat human. So, like,
are you saying that are you saying that people who shave their heads don't look human?
It's not a good look. I used to do it all the time. I have. You know, a finely coiffed hairdo is
coiffed.
Yeah, dude. Right now, I know you can't see me because you don't got the thing running. But man, I got the wave going like nobody's business. Well, like I'm literally doing a 1950s style like wave in my hair.
So then, what do you need a haircut for? If you got a nice wave,
nah, I
got
to get it all trimmed up. I do. It's like when my hair goes over my ears, I can't handle it. I'm like sitting here painting, and I'm like, God fucking damn it! God fucking damn it! Oh well, yeah, Gen Con is canceled, so they are I believe you're either get a chance of having your ticket refunded if you bought one, or you get it like an automatic ticket for next year.
Yeah, that's what most of the conventions that are canceling are doing. They're either just going full most of the ones that I was registered for or whatever, like, and have seen, they are all like, you can either get refund or full, you know, not a free ride, but we push your purchase forward to the next year. So that seems to be the standard. Although Combo Breaker, which was supposed to be happening this weekend, they just did a refund. You didn't even have an option to go for 2021.
Adepticon is, they gave you a couple options. Like, you could either donate it, or you could do you get your refund, you could donate, you could get blah blah blah, you could do this or this. I'm like, refund.
I don't remember what I did. I think I did refund.
Yeah.
I think I did refund. I might have done 2021. I'd have to actually look.
Yeah, something. It was something or
other. I don't know. I was concerned with other things at the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it's gonna make or break me. Right. But I'm a little disappointed that Gen Con is canceled because it was kind of like the last thing in the summer that I was looking forward to. I don't have anything anymore that I'm looking forward to. And I knew I wasn't gonna go to Gen Con, but it was kind of nice to know it was there so I could kind of write it out. So like if you know mid July,
Joe, you could always look forward to the grim embrace of death. That's always important to look forward to.
Please. Yeah, I was like, you know, if like everything's like looking good by mid July, I'm like, maybe I will go, but it's done. It's like I'm like Homer with the flying pig, where it's like it's just a little airborne. It's gone, Dad. I know.
It's just a little dirty. It's just a little dirty.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of how I was thinking about it. But yeah, whatever. I'm sure I'll just use my alone time in the summer to paint more minis.
Did you also see, unrelated to gaming, but did you see that the Snyder Cut is happening?
I did see the Snyder Cut is happening. It's like, why?
I thought it was a meme. I didn't even think it was real. Apparently it's a real thing.
Oh, it is. I knew it was a real thing, but the Snyder Cut thing I thought was a meme. Like I thought like people were like just jumping on board. Cause I'm like, how could anybody like anything that this guy has done?
Watchmen was fine.
Watchmen, it's fine, but it's kind of a bloated mess.
I mean, that's Watchmen. Like, arguably, that is Watchmen.
I'm not going to argue with that. I mean, and it also kind of missed the boat on a couple of the big things with that movie. But it's kind of like it missed the same things that Joker missed, where it's like, I think that the movie was saying stuff correctly, but people were taking like the point that. It's the Archie Bunker principle, which I've talked about before, which is that there were people who watched All in the Family and thought Archie Bunker was, on all of his views were correct. They're like, yes. Yeah, Archie Bunker. Yeah, yeah. I mean,
they did not understand that he was there to be a critique, not a endorsement.
Yeah, like Rorschach. That's Rorschach.
Yeah. You know, yes.
Rorschach is a critique. He's not an endorsement, and people really take him seriously.
Yes. That's precise. Because the entire concept behind Rorschach is, what if Batman was a real person? How broken would he be? And it's just like, he's that broken.
Well, and I think that's what they kind of missed with it. And the comic does a little bit better of a job, like explaining like, oh, he smells terrible. He looks terrible. He has like horrendous habits.
Yeah. He's broken. He's a completely like obsessed person who doesn't live as a person anymore. He's just he's a thing. He's an entity.
And, yeah, and then the Watchmen, the movie, where it's kind of, he kind of gets a little bit, but people are like, oh yeah, Rorschach, his take on society is what I agree with completely, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, he looks like ass, and he's eating cold beans out of a can. Like, is that the guy you really want to be?
The people who follow that are probably the ones who smell like ass and eat beans out of a can.
Cold beans.
Cold beans.
It's important that it's cold beans because you can see the like gelatinous goo around the beans as he's eating it. And then Night Owl's like, I can warm that up for you, and he's like, no, this is fine.
And all the British people's monocles fall down. They're like, eating beans not on toast?
No, for breakfast. Eating beans for breakfast.
Yeah. No, they eat it on toast. They put beans on toast.
I've never seen it on the toast, but
British listeners, if you've eaten beans on toast or know someone who has eaten beans on toast, you may be entitled to compensation.
Do they put cheese on it as well? Because I've seen cheese and beans on toast, but it's natto, so I don't think that counts because it's not baked. The thing that grosses me out about the beans, the breakfast beans thing, isn't that they're eating beans for breakfast. It's that it's baked beans.
I love baked beans.
Sweet and like so weird. The whole English breakfast thing is just the weirdest. That's the strangest breakfast I think is out there.
I mean, if someone offered me beans for breakfast, I'd probably eat it. I eat my frijoles on occasion.
I would eat beans that were not baked. I just don't like the sweet beans, man.
I'm a bean fan. That's a hill I'll die on. Beans are good.
I like beans. I got nothing wrong with beans. I like natto. I love a lima bean.
There's many hills that I'm going to die on, and one of them is that UB40 is better than Avril Lavigne.
You eat baked beans. That's the hill.
No, that's up. I mean, that's one. That is something I'm going to miss about Gen Con is the fact I'm not going to be able to eat any of those sweet, sweet streetcar food. That's it's literally the best part of Gen Con.
Probably. I don't know. I've never had one of the. The meal trucks were always something that I when I last went to Gen Con, it was like I looked at the lines for the meal truck and I was just like, huh. And I just pulled the granola bar out of my backpack and just ate that.
You gotta know when to go. That's the key thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know what I would. It's interesting because I don't know what I would even do at Gen Con now. Like I have no clue. I don't play War Machine, which was like the only big minis tournaments that were there. And having tried to do War Machine tournaments there, I can say doing miniatures tournaments at Gen Con fucking sucks. That was awful.
Yeah, I mean I played a couple games there. I usually just like to demo stuff, you know. It's nice to, especially with a table that's got a good guy demoing. I mean, I've been through some shitty demos at Gen Con. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, but yeah, they're all over the place.
Yeah, but when you get a good one, that's it's pretty nice. I mean, I'll be honest with that. And I like, there's certain, you know, I like talking with certain people. I meet up with people there that I haven't seen in a while. It's very social for me.
Fair enough. Yeah, I don't know anybody, so it's fine.
And it's also kind of nice too because I go alone, and it's nice to have that alone time with gaming. I don't get that very often. Not that it's a bad thing. I do. I love hanging out with people at Adepticon. You know, do all that fun stuff. But it's sometimes nice just to kind of walk around and just have the time to absorb the stuff by yourself and not have to worry about like, is the other person with me bored or, you know, want to do something else or whatever have you. I do enjoy the lonely man time.
It's a lonely man time.
No one knows what it's like.
I just be the sad Joe. I picture you with one of those small like bottles of whiskey in one hand and then a cup of coffee in the other, and you're just sitting in the hotel like on the windowsill, like pouring the whiskey into the coffee and sipping it and looking outside, just going like just like a discontented sigh.
No, that's me actually in the convention. Like in the hall.
Where do you find the windowsill?
There's plenty of windowsills at the convention hall. But no, I'm actually just sitting there, like sitting in the middle of the floor, like in the middle of like the craziness of everything, just drinking whiskey. That's just me. I'm like, go around. Our neighbors. The people with the giant backpacks. Are you still there?
Yeah, hang on. I'm being told a story.
Oh, sorry, guys. Steve's getting told a story. I was he popped for a second on my end with the audio, and so I was like, did we lose Steve? We lost Steve. Caller, you're on the air. So anyway, yeah. Indianapolis smells like pee, but most big cities do smell like pee. Steve doesn't want to admit that Chicago actually smells like pee, but Chicago does smell like pee on occasion. Especially in certain neighborhoods of the city of Chicago. Usually in the lakefront, not so much. You get a lot of beach smell, and it's like lake beach smell. It's not like real, like nice fresh ocean water smell. It's like it's fairly fetid. You know, a lot of sewage from Indianapolis and Indiana coming over Chicago. So a lot of sewage from Chicago just staying in Chicago. Fairly
apparently often. there's a brawl outside of the apartment. There's an altercation between people in one of the buildings on the top floor and the bottom floor. I guess they're like the authorities are en route.
Nice.
Yeah, so there's a thing going.
Well, they're not social distancing.
No, I mean, I guess they were, and then they rapidly weren't.
It rapidly devolved into some sort of fisticuffs.
Yes, that apparently is the thing. I was the reason I was being told the story is so I didn't get freaked out if there was cops or whatever swarming around the
apartment. Yeah.
Apparently, there's nice. there's a rumble going on between the Utes.
Well, there's Utes.
So in the building next to us, on the third floor and the first floor, there's an old couple, some old people and some Utes. I don't know which floor they live on, but they have they have umbrage with one another. So I guess this is it is now finally boiled over.
It's boiled over.
Yeah, it's boiled over. COVID-19's boiled over all tensions.
Well, that's nice. All right, let's go on to the, like, what I would probably consider the biggest news of the day. I mean, we've already, it's already passed and people have been commenting on it nonstop, but.
Oh, there's a Ascension deck building game with miniatures. Yes. That is the biggest news. Stoneblade and Ultra Pro are making a miniatures deck building game for Ascension Tactics. That is huge news. As everyone knows,
I think that's why Games Workshop made this announcement, just so they could counter the crazy Ascension news.
Yes, for sure.
They were like, steal our spotlight, will you?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
No. We don't want to obfuscate the news of our giant steampunk weird Wild West, you know, Mechanicus figures that are getting released next week.
Yes.
No, everybody knows. They announced 9th edition of 40K.
Yes.
40K, officially more editions than Fantasy.
If we're saying specifically Fantasy Battle, right?
Yes, Warhammer Fantasy Battle only made it to 8th edition.
Okay, very good.
I don't know.
You need to be clear. We're not counting Age of Sigmar, even though
we are not counting Age of Sigmar. Are you kidding me? There's no square bases in Age of Sigmar.
They were allowed for a long time.
No, we're not. Bad Steve. No. So they are getting it sounds, from everything I've seen, it's basically 8.5.
It's going to be like AOS 2. It's same thing.
Yeah. I mean, kind of, I mean, I think there's, they definitely reconfigured some of the core rules, especially for things like tanks, terrain and flyers, I think are getting the big fix. So, flyers are probably going to be way better because they kind of sucked in 8th from what I heard. I mean, I don't know. They were bad.
A couple games flyers. Ago. Well, flyers are. So, you remember how it took a long time for them to finally like get tanks to a point where like tanks weren't stupid. Like that was the problem with tanks in 40K. Tanks were either always broken in one direction or the other. So there was the parking lot edition of 40K where like vehicles were busted. So the entire table was just tanks. Because they were so good. And then there was the versions where tanks were fucking garbo, so you never saw tanks. And then they finally hit, I think they hit, when whatever edition where they first started just giving them fucking wounds, that was when it was like, oh, okay, yeah, all we needed to do was give them wounds, and like that kind of fixed tanks mostly. Flyers are the next, the current tanks, where like when flyers first came out, they were busted. They were like impossible to kill. They were invincible. They just diarrheaed all over whatever was on the board. Yeah. So they were fucking stupid. And then they nerfed them, but they over nerfed them. So they were terrible. And then it was like, oh, I guess these fucking suck now. And so hopefully this edition is the edition that puts flyers where like they should be.
Yeah. I saw something like they can, like, once you move and shoot, you can, if you go off the board, you could come back on the board. There's something crazy like that. Like, it's basically double shooting from what I hear.
That's cool.
Tanks are now able to shoot into combat, which is pretty nice.
That is good.
That's what I've been told. But I guess the big news is that 9th edition, the primary antagonist looks like it's going to be the Necrons.
Necrons, we are robots.
I know you always call 40K a stupid baby's game. But
no, I didn't say that. That's Steve Irwin. That's a Steve Irwin quote.
Yeah. That's a Steve Irwin quote. Yeah, you know, 40K is a baby's game. But I know you like to quote Steve Irwin on that one. I also know that you're a huge fan of the Necrons.
I do. I do like the Necrons, and I very much do like the new sculpts. They look like the art. They look like they're supposed to. They got rid of the stupid glow rods, which is awesome.
They did finally get rid of the glow rods.
Fuck those things, dude. Those things are the worst.
So it looks like, from what I see with the Necron releases, they actually put out a bunch of pictures, because apparently Spiky Bits put up some like pixelated picture, and they were like, these are the new releases for the 9th edition. I think that's how they talk over at Spiky Bits. Is Spiky Bits the one that's down in Texas?
No, that's Bella Lost Souls.
Well, Bella Lost Souls was all like, yeehaw, we all got some new Necrons.
Yes.
But yeah, they were like, they got some pixelated pictures of them. They were kind of like circling them and going like, what's this? What's this? And Games Workshop just released high def pictures of those and saying like, this is what those are. So you have forward to looking for those releases. It looks like they've completely redone the Necron line from the bottom up.
Well, I imagine they would just have redone the things that are warriors, because
they've redone everything, it looks like.
Really? That's crazy. Because there's so many models in that line that are fine. Like the Immortals were good and a bunch of stuff. But hey, who knows?
They may have kept a couple of the later sculpts, but they're doing all new warriors. It looks like they're doing new destroyers.
I could see that. Yeah. Well, you know what they did? They probably redid anything that's using the plastic rods.
Yeah. Anything that's using the plastic rods, pretty much they're redoing. There's a bunch of new units, a bunch of big guys now for the Necrons.
That's cool.
So yeah, definitely some like bigger than probably like dreadnought size things. It looks like there's a new they're doing a new monolith. And of course we have the new special character, the Silent King.
The monolith has rods.
The monolith has rods. It does.
I'm telling you, it sounds like everything that has rods is getting redone.
Because yeah, redo my rod.
They're just getting rid of the rods. I mean, I like it. And, you know, I really don't have. I don't really take much umbrage with 40K. I don't like the way that the game operates. I don't like the allies stuff. I don't like the. I don't like that you need like 10 books to play.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think that they're going to change the book thing. Is not going to change. I don't think the book thing is ever going to change.
No. They showed the guy in the. They showed the guy in their. They're in their copy about the new edition, holding the stack of books with like the thumbs up. So,
well, yeah, well, he was saying, I think that thing was saying that, like, oh, none of your old books are going to be useless. Like everything's going to be good. You know, there's, your Space Marine code. The current Space Marine Codex is still going to work for 9th edition. I think what they were trying to say is like, cause that transition from 7th to 8th, all of those books became obsolete the second 8th edition dropped.
Yeah.
And that kind of cheesed off a lot of people because there was a lot of books in 7th edition.
Yeah. They really never got away from the book bloat that with 40K. It's like it's really bad compared to Age of Sigmar and even old fantasy. Like there's just so many.
Well, books. Fantasy was easy. You really didn't need more than maybe at maximum 3 books.
Well, you'd have your army book. You had your
rule book.
And then there was like, you usually have whatever supplement book was relevant to your army.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Like back, you know, originally that was the Storm of Chaos. So you'd have your army book, Storm of Chaos, Big Red Book, and then as that changed, you'd add the End Times books instead or whatever.
I mean there was a few occasions that I could possibly see maybe 4 books being needed at any given time, but even then it was like you would have to have whatever the Chronicles book was to tell like what the current FAQ,
right, yes,
or something like
yes.
That
oh, I remember Chronicles. That was...
Yeah, you'd have to photocopy them. Fine. But yeah, 40K, towards the end of 7th edition, you'd need upwards of like 6 to 7 books to play a competitive army.
Yeah.
Which
and you need minis from multiple armies. That's the big thing, too. I was not a big fan of the...
Was that a problem in 7th? I never thought that was
a problem. Oh, no. I was thinking 8th. 8th is the soup one. 7th had no soup.
Yeah. 8th, I'm a little... I wonder about because the... I don't know if they've even addressed the soup issue. I think I heard some stuff throughout the presentation talking about a little bit about that, but I see that as nothing but a boon for Games Workshop. Why wouldn't they want you to have multiple, you know, regiment things that you could bring into your army? That sounds to them that's like everything that they want.
It's specifically the way that they do it in 40K, because like they have the same thing in Age of Sigmar you can play allies in every army as well, but it's so much more restrictive because it's a small allotment of points. And then what they actually did, and I hope they expand on it and make them a little bit better, but one of the things I very much did like that they did in AOS 2 is they made those mercenary, they made the Dogs of War.
Yeah, that was pretty fun.
Which exactly fit into your allies' points, which is cool, but they were bad. so no one used them. But like, I that idea is okay. It's just basically like, it's harder to min-max with the way it's done in Age of Sigmar, where it's just a small percentage point. It's not even a percentage, you can use 500 points of allies. It's just harder to min-max. So when I see... Like when I see an army in 40K, I look at it at the table and I go, so that's a Eldar army? And they're like, actually, it's a Tau army. I'm like, wait, what? So that's the thing I don't like. It's there's no, like, where is the visual coherency? And like, why bother having specific army codexes? Like, you should just make the one book that says Chaos and it's everything Chaos, one book that's Imperium and it's everything that's Imperium, instead of, it just seems like more steps. Like,
yeah, it's more money. That's what it is.
They'd still have more money if they made one giant book called the Imperium. Like, if there was one army called the Imperium and it just, you could buy whatever was an Imperium force and just play it in that army, it's the same difference. Because you'll min-max it the same way and you'll be like, it's two tax squads.
No, I'm talking, it's more money that for people to buy books.
Oh, do you think their profit margins and book sales are enough to merit that?
You know, maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
If there's one thing that you could say about me, it's that I am an entrepreneurial wizard and I know everything about how to make money in miniature gaming.
Yeah, that's funny.
But what they are doing, and they did talk about, is that we're finally getting a 40K app. So it looks like
the Age of Sigmar one?
The Age of Sigmar one.
Now that's actually big enough where that could change my entire opinion on the game, believe it or not. Because one of the biggest things that makes all of the myriad things in Age of Sigmar so much more playable and easy is the fact that you have the app. So I don't need to buy, if I want to use a Nurgle Beastman unit, I don't need to buy that book at all. I can just slap that Nurgle Beastman unit into my army list and it has the rules and the War Scroll card. So if that's the level of change we're talking for 40K, that kind of like torpedoes all my complaints about 8th edition in one shot.
Yeah, well,
if that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know if it's going to be a clone of the Age of Sigmar one, which would make sense because the Age of Sigmar one was amazing.
It's great. I think it's one of the best. I think it's one of the best like companion apps I've used for any game.
One of the things.
Several.
Also, they are. They did talk about that they scaled the game, so the game is now competitive at small and large scales.
That sounds really good too.
I would. I'm going to cast doubt on that. Steve, roll.
I have doubts.
Yeah, I mean, because when they say like, oh, it is, it works. It works on this really small wet level. And then I'm like, you play it on a small level. And it's like, my one Primaris Marine just destroyed your 800 guard. It's like, well, yeah. But, that's one of those ones where you got to see it before you can do it. And plus they have Kill Team already, which is like pretty much the best small scale game that you could get right now for 40K. So... My big problem with for Kill Team is there's a shit ton of stuff that you have to buy to play that game.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's true. You have to buy an absolute fuck ton.
Yeah, yeah. A fuck ton of cards and everything else. I don't know 100% for sure on that. I do think that the rule system is really nice, and the Warband Builder is really fun too. Who knows? One of the things that bothers me the most about this edition change, and it probably shouldn't even bother me, but the fact that they changed the logo, which they do every edition. Let's be fair, they've done that. But this new one, the kerning is off in the in the actual logo, which is really annoying. If when you notice these little things in the graphic design part of it, you're like, ah, damn it. which is it does not surprise me because you know that stupid little like square icon with the hammer with the wings on it that they have on Instagram. That thing's a fucking nightmare too when it comes to graphic design.
It's true. They had a perfect hammer at one point. I can't remember which one. I can't remember all over the years which the one hammer was just the best. It was one of the logos. I'm pretty sure it was for fantasy, and they could have just stuck with that forever.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, and I agree with it.
But there's a lot, but that's a problem with everything. Like the tech companies. So perfect, you know what? Perfect fucking example of random updates that don't need to happen. Fucking Windows sticky notes is something that I used constantly, and I still use. And they did an update for sticky notes, and they took all of the best features of sticky notes and just got rid of them.
And now, for
like no reason, like it was, and it's like you did an update just so you could say you did an update. Like there was no reason to do that, and I find that's a problem with a lot of games, editions, graphic designs, things like that. It's just like, why did you like It'd be like, so like D&D did the opposite, where they really pushed the ampersand logo with the dragon head.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? So now that icon is ubiquitous. Like, if you see that and you play games, you know that's Dungeons and Dragons. They never need to change that ampersand. Like, there's no reason to. It's like changing Mr. Clean. Like, you can make Mr. Clean look kind of different. Like, I know he's buffer now.
I want him to look more handsome, is what I want.
I believe the current Mr. Clean is now is more of a clean daddy, if you will.
Ooh.
So he looks more. For Europe and the UK, I believe he's known as Mr. Proper, not Mr. Clean, which is an odd name change, but hey, whatever. Mr. Proper. I do like Mr. Proper a lot, actually. I think that's better than Mr. Clean. But in Germany, I think it's Meister Proper.
Call him Das Kommissar?
Das Kommissar Proper. They can change the way he looks a bit, but he's always going to be, you know, like white shirt, arms crossed, bald guy, gay earring. Like, that's Mr. Clean. Like, that's how he looks. If they were to debut a Mr. Clean who was like a purple dinosaur, you'd be like, that's fucking weird. Why would you make that change? So I find a lot of the visual design changes with Warhammer branding was like that too. And like changing the store names to just Warhammer, like, that's so weird.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with it, but I mean, it's like, it's a weird name to pick first of all, because it's kind of like what, Warhammer, that's not going to bring in a ton of moms who are like, oh, what's this Warhammer store?
You'd think, like, if you were going to change your names from the Games Workshop, like, you're not going to make it Games Workshop. And I can somewhat, maybe, having worked at a Games Workshop store, and you as well, I'm sure you fielded a lot of legitimate calls about video games.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, because the store had games in the name, so people were like, hey, do you have Turok? And it's just like, no.
Do you guys have Battletoads?
No one did that. That was a specific trolling meme thing.
And that was later.
So it seems like if you wanted to change your name to get maximum brand recognition and also to differentiate yourself from a generic store that has games in the name, because that's also true. Because, I mean, I can tell you, there is a absolute ridiculous number of game stores that have game or games in the name. So if the goal was to differentiate yourself, the obvious choice, the sensical choice, would be to rebrand your store's Citadel Miniatures.
That would make actually a lot more sense. Like, but
if you look at a store sign, like if you're driving by a mall and you see the store sign says TCVY, Famous Dave's, and Citadel Miniatures, you're like, that's a miniature store. I should go check that out.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I can say with that is there might be something funky with the name Citadel Miniatures, like, in order to do that, because it's like one of those early things. Remember how like Marauder Miniatures was part of the range for a while, and like, I know all the miniatures are technically Citadel Miniatures, but there might be some like some funky thing with that. Well, I agree with you.
I have to imagine now they've probably gotten the point where it's you know, they've completely claimed Citadel Miniatures from any sort of thing.
But if you actually look at the new logo, I know a lot of people made comparisons to the Top Gun logo, and I'm like, you're not dissuading me when you compare it to Top Gun, sir. That movie is terrible, but I agree with the message. That there is a highway to the danger zone.
It also has the best homoerotic volleyball scene ever made.
I believe all volleyball scenes are homoerotic, so I think that might be kind of redundant to call it a homoerotic volleyball scene.
I said it was the best.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just the best volleyball scene or the best homoerotic scene. No, it's not the best homoerotic scene, because that goes to Rocky III, the end with Rocky on the beach.
It's the best homoerotic volleyball scene.
Yes.
That's simple as that. I mean, because that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Playing with the boys. Like simple joys.
I know, like, when people were like, it looks like the Top Gun logo, I'm like, awesome. I love Top Gun. But then I started noticing the actual, like, way that the Warhammer logo looks, and I was like, like, it's just the letters. Like, they fucked up the letters, something fierce on that.
The font is very odd.
Yeah, the font is odd. The kerning is odd. It's like the R at the end of Warhammer overlaps the, like, the line on the eagle just a tiny bit. Like, but it's noticeable. It's angry noticeable. And the A in Warhammer, or the second A in Warhammer, is not like just centered enough. Like, it needs to be better centered. Yeah. In the on the thing, and it's just like it drives me up the wall.
Yeah, I would say that the font change overall is certainly a downgrade.
I mean, you know. it's not like make or break. Like, I'm just gonna, but that thing,
obviously that, right? Not that would be possibly the most ludicrous make or break in any game history. Like, I don't like the logo, I am not playing the game.
tune into my live stream on my YouTube where I burn my 40k army because of the new logo.
This is the new logo.
they did the whole release for the ninth edition. For the Primaris as well. We're finally getting Primaris bikes. And as you said, I believe yesterday through a text message, bikes have always sucked in 40K. Who gives a shit about bikes?
Yeah, why do people always want them? They're always bad.
They're garbage.
they're good in... There was one edition where you could turbo boost and they were good. Like, people actually used bikes in that edition. Mostly because it was a gimmicky thing where you could... I don't want to get too deep into it, but there was one edition where bikes were very strong.
Well, you could also make like vroom vroom motorcycle noises with them.
That's true, but you can do that with tanks.
Well, tanks are more like,
you could still vroom vroom.
I mean, you could vroom vroom, like, you vroom vroom with like orc cars, you vroom vroom with motorcycles.
Yeah you can vroom vroom with orc trucks.
Yeah.
And proper tanks.
And you get the you also with the hover stuff, you have to go as you're moving.
Well, that depends, because if it's Eldar stuff, you have to go.
Okay.
They're like, okay. They're kind of like, they have that like hornet sound, but the Tau floaty stuff is definitely.
Yeah, well, that's the Tau. That's why I say that. But the Imperium stuff sounds like the Jetsons, where it's. I'm glad we just spent 2 minutes making mouth sounds to toys.
Hey, everyone makes. If you don't make mouth sounds when you play with your toys, that's weird.
I did kind of like, it was like when they announced the Primaris were getting chain swords. I was like, and Malibu Space Stacy has a new hat.
You know what? That actually caught me so off guard, because I was like, they didn't already have chain swords. Like, that's a thing they didn't have already. That's how out of touch and out of time I am with 40K.
Yeah, I mean, I found that hysterical. They previewed a couple new units, because once again, Spiky Bits was all like, I got the new figure with this pixel system. And then Games Workshop was like, okay, we can't have this out here. Let's just put out the official release on these guys. And some cool figures. I mean, whatever. They're Space Marines. The video they put up for the new edition was fucking fantastic, though.
It was so big, it's actually trending on YouTube.
Yeah,
like it's organically trending, which is pretty cool.
It is a sexy animated video. I think Tabletop Inquirer said it best with incel shifts uncomfortably in chair throughout ninth edition promo video.
Holy shit, that's fantastic.
Yeah, they it focuses on some Sisters of Battle and the camaraderie with the Space Marines and the Necrons are going like, by your command. They're all shooting this stuff and it's pretty cool, and some guardsmen are getting whomped. There's a female guardsman in the video, which I probably upset some people.
They also, actually, it's funny, Tim of Inquirer also has a solid dunk on Spiky Bits. It says Spiky Bits continues to be beacon of valuable content, and it's just that super fucking blurry picture that's useless.
Yeah, well, and that's actually like the legitimate argue that they released.
Who runs that? Who runs Tabletop Inquirer, and why do they only have 3,000 followers?
It's
rude.
A genius. It's a fucking genius.
They also don't appear to have a Twitter, which is odd because they should.
Yeah, I think they're on Facebook, and I think they're on Instagram.
Yeah, it looks like that. Yeah, it looks like they don't have a Twitter. Oh no, nope, there they are.
I was wrong.
They don't use their Twitter.
Oh, okay.
They have the account. They're following two accounts. They have 7 followers. They joined a full year ago and have 0 tweets.
Yeah, I mean, I saw one of my favorite memes that has come out of the ninth edition release is it's the Magneto, you know, I prefer the real, you know, Raven, you know, that meme.
Oh, yes.
He goes, I prefer the real Warhammer 40K, and it shows a bunch of people playing the game. He goes, I said the real hobby of Warhammer 40K, and it's like a beautifully painted figure. And then it's finally the last one is perfection, and it's a picture of a complain button.
That's great.
Yeah, the other thing is that because they have like a new, they're pushing the 40K narrative a little bit, which is not really anything. They don't really push the 40K narrative. It's kind of stagnant, which is the reason why that the game exists as it does. But it's like Dawn of Fire or something like that. They roll 2d6 or 2d20s on the Warhammer name generator.
And they switch to the d20 resolution. They don't do the dartboard anymore.
No. It's always been d20. You get the two boxes, you know, that are with the different things like fire, rain, blood, blah, blah, blah. And then you just roll on that. You roll two dice and then you just combine them together, which is like, you know, Dawn of Fire. Oh, nice. Okay. It's, you know, Dawn and Fire. What can we do there? Fire by Dawn. Dawn of Fire. That's what we'll do. We'll go there. I don't even know if that's the one, but that's just what I'm calling it right now. But the book has a African, or I shouldn't say African-American. It has a black space marine because he can't really be African-American if he's from 40K. So.
Nope.
No. So that's, but there's a black space marine, black ultramarine on there, and people lost their shit. Like, just like why? Well, why? Some of
because that's politics.
Yeah.
I don't want politics in my game unless they support my right-wing nonsense.
It is Dawn of Fire.
Every single time I see someone bitching about politics and something, it's always like, it's because you're a shitty right-winger, isn't it? And sure enough, they're a shitty right-winger. Oh, shocker. They don't want politics that conflict with their tiny-brained worldview.
People have complained, and I would recommend, I don't know if it's still up, but if you go to like the Instagram page or the YouTube page and you look at that under there, you could see the people that are making these comments, because they are not making these comments in a vacuum. So it's just like, Jesus Christ, people.
I'm sure you've seen the Twitter meme where it's like, get ready for your mentions to be hit by the squad. And it's just like, the 30 different like white dudes in sunglasses with Trump signs behind them profile pictures. That's the reply guy squad.
They're sitting in their trucks with their Oakleys on and their
goatees. Yes. Probably, you got it.
Probably a hat that says, not a MAGA hat, because they don't want to be that obvious. That's too on the nose.
That's true. Some have hats, and usually it's a no logo hat. It's just
like a no logo hat.
It's like a black cap.
And they're going to tell me what's what.
That's right. They're going to tell you liberal, your liberal cuck views.
Ooh, cuckolding.
I'm building the cuck house for my wife and her girlfriend.
Oh, and it's so bad too, because it's like these people don't have any real complaints about it. And I'm like, when I first saw it, I was like, you know what my brain immediately went? I'm like, oh God, the complaints. Like, because I was like, oh, it's cool. And then I just sat there and looked at it for like five more seconds. I was like, this is going to be a whole thing. And I have to comment on it because I have a podcast.
40K gatekeeper successfully keeps women out of personal life. Yeah. I'm reading all these Tabletop Inquirers. These are really good.
Yeah, oh yeah. They're fantastic. They all hit really close to home, like insanely close to home. I did like did you see the whole thing about Commissar Gonza?
No.
He's a YouTube commenter who was complaining about Games Workshop being woke.
Oh, of course.
He got somewhat internet famous for like purposefully internet famous, you know, like that point where I'm going to be famous because I'm making fun of this and people are going to be mad at me kind of way.
Oh, so, yes.
I probably shouldn't even mention his name to draw viewers to him. But or just to like watch him be like, oh, what the fuck is this guy doing? But yeah,
it's like that one guy who's on Twitter who's a literal nobody who is like super famous and verified now because he supported Trump. Like, I can't remember his name. I literally can't remember his name, but like I saw him trending And I'm like, who the fuck is this? And he's just some guy. Like, he's not a politician. He has nothing to do with politics. He's just some rando who happens to be famous for trending. Like, he's not an actor. He's not a celebrity. Like, when I see, like, James Woods trending, I'm like, oh, James Woods said something fucking awful. That's why he's trending. And I know who James Woods is, obviously. Shout outs to Videodrome, one of the greatest films of all time. But, like, this dude, he just apparently is, like, famous just for supporting Trump. I don't know, it's so weird. It's like that, and that's why like it's difficult. But one of the things I've been trying purposefully to do lately, and it's hard, it's very hard, is to just the way that the algorithms have fucked the way our interactions with each other work and the way what people see works is the only way, like now, the only way to actually challenge horrible people and anti-science and things that just aren't true, the only actual way to challenge them is to just block them and not interact in any way.
Yeah.
Like, because if you reply or you retweet or you quote retweet with like a solid dunk, like, if someone says, you know, like if someone says like, oh, the earth is flat, and you like quote RT and say like, this guy's a moron, here's why the earth is not flat, so on and so forth, your response doesn't actually matter because the algorithm picks up the quote RT, the algorithm picks up the favorites, the algorithm picks up the replies. So then suddenly this horrible person and ridiculous statement is trending, and then all it does is it brings more people to their cause. It creates more chuddery. So the only way to actually meaningfully interact with someone like that is to not interact. And at the very least, even if you don't feel it'll make a societal difference, which it may or may not, who fucking knows? I believe society is irreparably broken at this point. But at the very least, you won't make them money. Because, yes. Like, what's her face, that fucking, I don't know, gun girl, whatever her fucking name is. Like, the level of hate engagement she gets on her posts generates so much revenue. Like, you're literally paying these people bills. You're paying their bills by interacting with them. Like, just don't. If you block them, they have no power.
Yeah. I lost what I was going to say on that one, but. Yeah, just don't. Oh, the only way
to win. You were talking about the 40K guy.
No, I was going to say the only way to win is to not play.
Yes, the only way to win is not to play. That's it. Yeah, because the 40K guy used his terrible, like, and then like calling GW woke is fucking absurd. Like, that's like they're quote unquote woke because they're like, yes, women can also fight and die in our wars.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
what a woke statement to have.
I kind of feel like Games Workshop really, 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 really wants to lean back more into the satire way version of 40K, but it's like, they know that that's not where the money is. So they're just definitely not going to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they want to. They understand. They want to.
Yeah, it's just, there's no you can't. Someone said recently, and I completely agree. At this point, satire is just dead.
Satire is dead.
Satire is dead.
Jim Satire. He died with a beer in his lips.
Jim Satire. He had one beef. He had one beef sandwich too many, and he passed away.
Now he's dead. So let's not talk about him anymore. No, and one last thing I know with the 9th edition announcement is they actually are putting out a kind of campaign version of Warhammer 40K. This was, I thought, was pretty interesting. It's actually a built-in campaign system for the 9th edition where your army is going to be able to progress as the games progress.
That sounds pretty dope. If they do that right, that sounds awesome.
That's what I was kind of thinking. Like, if this is done right and not just kind of a throwaway, that is going to be a huge boon for like a neighborhood game store.
Yeah.
Because you don't actually have to have a whole campaign built around it. You know, you could just have like your local armies and you could keep track of it in store. So if a guy only comes in and plays like one or two games, that's fine. Because he's just going to progress based upon those one or two games. If a person wants to play 100 games, they can play 100 games and progress as much as they want. but it's kind of like, I think that's pretty interesting in and of itself.
Yeah, I like that. That's, that sounds cool.
Yeah, it's one of the things that I really want to keep an eye out for.
Well, I mean, as I've stated before, and I will probably state again, my favorite way to play miniatures games is the way I play it the least, humorously enough, which is campaigns.
Yeah.
Because I think minis campaigns are just the coolest. Like, they give you everything you want out of a miniatures game, plus you get fun, like, strategic shit on the board. There's you don't have, like, static art. Because, like, if I'm playing for a tournament, I'm going to pick my 2,000-point optimal list, and I'll just play that list forever. Like, if you and I were practicing, like, we really wanted to win at Adepticon, like, you and I have decided that we're going to go in and we're gonna rep the classy by winning Age of Sigmar shit at Adepticon.
Like, while singing Playing with the Boys.
While having Playing with the Boys built into our display boards.
Ooh.
Playing via a 4K HD video screen, just the scene over and over. So we would play 2,000 points. We would try and build an optimal list and play it over and over and slowly just continue to optimize the list. And it wouldn't really be like, there's no organic growth. Like, no. you're gonna hit the optimal list, and you're gonna be like, "This is the optimal list. Like, I'm done." But with a campaign, you get like, "Oh, I actually want to use this unit that I've never used before."
Speaking of that, I actually just backed a Kickstarter that just ended, and it's called Hexton Hills,
mm-hmm.
and it's basically a 3D printed campaign tiles map generator. Sick. And it looks like the plastic Mighty Empire set that was released in like mid to late 2000s, except better. And
holy,
I'm super
shit, that looks fucking awesome.
I'm super excited about it. And Steve's looking it up right now. He's like, oh my God,
that looks fucking dope. That looks really cool. That's like, that is, it's literally a better version of the Mighty Empire's release.
And I liked it.
The Mighty Empire's release.
Yeah. Oh yeah. The Mighty Empire's thing was really cool. And what I like about this a lot is that the pledge was only like $35 and
it's
get everything.
STL files, right?
Yeah. It's just STL files.
Yeah.
So it's $35, but you know, a lot of times, you know, like I backed most terrain Kickstarters for STLs. Usually the best tier is like at $100.
Really? For STLs? That seems very expensive.
Well, it kind of is, but you got to remember that a lot of these guys are they're paying people to design the stuff for them. Like they're coming up with the concepts. They're paying that. Hopefully, you know, there's a whole process that goes into it with making the file so that they print correctly on the first time with minimal support.
And you got to use the stands or whatever.
Yeah, there's a lot of thought that goes into that. And also that there's a huge loss market on a lot of these STLs because, you know, it's like any digital file just gets shared online.
Mm.
So I think that there's, if they, you know, make a couple thousand, if they make like, let's say 100,000 off of it and they sunk 40,000 into the design, that's still $60,000 that they made for the year, which is really nice.
Yeah, that's a good level of profit. That's the other thing too, digital files are shared, yes, but it's kind of like video games. Like, every video game is cracked immediately. Like, mm-hmm. no matter what copyright protections or anything they try to do, none of that matters. Like, the video game gets cracked immediately, and video games are still billions and billions of dollars a year in revenue.
Yeah.
So there's no reason that you couldn't rise to that level of competition with minis as well.
Well, I mean, okay. So I'll give you the plus in that it is, you know, that is true. And if you make something affordable, most people will just buy it, is what I always say.
Yes.
And then there's also the part on there as well where it's like, you're talking about with video games, like multiple mega corporations. A lot of this stuff, like with the 3D design work, this is just some dude.
Right, but if you reduce the scales appropriately, say, you know, like because I think the long and short of it is, if someone's pirating something, they weren't going to buy it.
Yeah, I mean, like, we've said that before.
If these guys' files are awesome, like if I had a 3D printer, I would absolutely have backed this Kickstarter campaign. But here's the thing. If I had a 3D printer, I also wouldn't steal these files. I would buy them because I think they're cool. Yeah, but anyone who has a 3D printer and wants to steal these files wouldn't buy them.
Yeah.
And I think that's the case for everything. Like, most pirated games don't do that. And then there was a it was a pretty long form study done on piracy in general. And they actually determined that piracy to like a certain threshold actually leads to more sales of the genuine product.
Yeah. Like, well, and that's what part of what I was saying with the Sexton Hills was that the entry rate to it is so low.
It's tiny.
Yeah. That like $35 to get, you know, I don't know, the files for, I think, 70 different types of tiles, right? That's insane. That's a great deal. Mm-hmm. And I've been looking for something like that because I do have the re-release Mighty Empires plastic tiles, mm-hmm. which I think are really fun. But I really think that these are like a much better version of that.
Oh, they're beautiful. They're amazing.
Yeah.
This is like this, you know what this screams? This screams War Master campaign.
And actually there was a guy on Patreon who was the first guy on Patreon to do War Master scale fantasy for 3D printing. And he actually got pulled in like less than 10 days by Games Workshop.
Aww.
Remember I showed you the Wood Elf stuff that he'd done.
Oh, were they rips of the GW?
No, they were his own individual, like he did the design work on them, but mm-hmm. they looked way too much like Games Workshop to be like allowed.
Oh, they did likeness IP or whatever?
Yeah, pretty much. It was like, I mean, and trust me, as a guy who knows like sixth through eighth edition Wood Elves and High Elves, yeah, he had pretty much copied them.
Yeah, like, you can't do that.
Yeah. They were beautiful. Like, don't get me wrong. But he's actually coming back on. I know he's changing his sculpts.
So yeah, you could just do some minor. They actually, well, remember when that huge lawsuit happened with that company that lost. It was years ago.
Yeah, it was the Bits company.
Yeah, the 40K company that was making the Bits.
Yeah.
But when they lost, they actually had that like laundry list of like what counted. So you should be able to easily identify, like they have to have a list of things to change. So like they'll be like, you can't use this, 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 and he'd be like, I'll just change those things.
Yeah, that's what it pretty much looks like because he's coming back on there.
Yeah.
Which is nice. And actually, I wanted to throw out something, another Kickstarter that just opened up not too long ago. Still got 22 days on it. Our buddies over at Titan Forge just did their first 3D printable Kickstarter, Bloodfields.
Aw, shit. Let me look at
okay,
this.
Now I want you to understand this. This is how big the 3D printing market is going to be ripped open by, like, people. But it's just going to, it's like that market is falling for just like buying a miniature. It's in the future because right now Bloodfields has just opened up in less than a week and they're already at $103,000, right? Their entire raid on the Temple of Serpents, which I think was some of their best sculpting work that they've done, only made $86,000 throughout this entire run. Their Dragon Empire throughout the entire run made $130,000, almost this throughout their entire run, almost the same as Bloodfields made in their first week.
Mm-hmm. So, well, there's other factors too outside of it just being 3D printed too, because look at it like, think of it like this, like, so if you have a 3D printer and you get the STL files, that's great. But if it's, let's say it's a physical copy, when you're talking physical shipping for a Kickstarter, that means that when the files are done, they have to print it.
Yep.
They have to cast it. They have to pack it. They have to ship it. So you have those big turnaround times. With something like STL files, I mean, even if they're not all complete, the turnaround time is going to be a fraction. If they finish everything in 10 days after the Kickstarter is over, you get your shit in 10 days after the Kickstarter is over.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying is like, it just look at like what if companies take note from these type of events like this, and I've already been saying that like a lot of the smaller game market outside of Games Workshop and Privateer Press, they're shifting towards this model of just selling the files
because yeah, it makes sense.
They all do 3D design anyway for their models. There's very few, like Reaper probably still has sculptors on hand,
mm-hmm.
maybe because their plastic stuff for Null Zers looks like it's straight out of the computer.
Yeah, but if the bone stuff.
Yeah, but if they're still having sculptors come in and do some metal work, they probably, I mean, of all companies, Reaper probably still does that.
Yeah.
but most small companies are going to be moving towards just selling STL files.
Mm-hmm. There's also a huge difference too, because I think there's always going to be a market for companies like Reaper, because they're just producing a very inexpensive, I'm a D&D player, this thing, yeah. You know, like there's no
yeah. Oh no, 100%. Like, well, I was just talking about that with Mick, about how like actually his comment was, it's really funny how the unpainted stuff actually costs more money than the pre-painted stuff. But
there's a reason for that. And yeah. I can tell you exactly what it is. Not even kidding. It's because there's no randomness and it's all individually packaged.
Yeah.
That's why. Like that's 100% the reason. Like if they did a Nolzer's line as blind boxes of the pre-prime, they would be far cheaper than the current version where you pick and choose. And that's just what it is. It's just logistics. Cause I guarantee the packaging on those models is at least as expensive as the model. So there's been enough games, I think, that have actually been games and lines that actually have been killed by their packaging, believe it or not.
Oh no, I 100% believe that.
In fourth edition, they did a big push for the miniatures change, where they got rid of the blind boxes. They're like, no more blind boxes. We're not doing blind boxes anymore for Dungeons and Dragons. Everything is going to be pre-painted still, but you're going to be able to pick and choose and get exactly what figures you want. And it was a catastrophic sales failure because there was multiple reasons. One, there's no incentive for people to buy more than one of a thing because they're always going to get what they want. So you how do you counteract that? Well, you counteract that by making the price a little bit higher. The problem is they made the packaging very big, very bulky, and completely translucent, so you could see all the figures. So that added to the cost by a huge margin. So then you look at it like this, like as a player, you go, huh, I could spend $28 and get this single giant and two little dudes, or I can buy $28 worth of Attack of the Giants boosters from my game store and get a bunch of random figures. I'll go for the random figures. I get more guys. So that's 100% was a product line that was destroyed on its packaging and the way it was designed. This kind of stuff, the 3D printed, being able to just completely circumvent that, like that's a huge deal, I think.
Oh yeah. For the Titanforge game, because it's a skirmish-based game. It's based off on all of the files they've been releasing off their Patreon as well. But what's really cool is like, for $30, you'll get the file. You'll get like six files per warband, like 6 to 8 files per warband. And for $30, you get orcs, knights, elves, the terrain set, and then like all of the accessories and all that fun stuff that you just print off.
Yeah, it's super cool. It has the ruler, the rulers. There's tokens and rulers and measuring tools and all sorts of things that are all done with 3D printing, which is awesome. So it's an actual game just in 3D printing. And then one of the most exciting things on here. Did you see that there's an app?
Yeah, I know you love your mobile apps.
There's an app.
Yeah, which you know, and I'll throw this out there. The Titanforge guys did reach out to us and they wanted to hang out at Adepticon this year. And that fell through, of course, because, you know, global pandemic. And so
whole pandemic thing.
Yeah. So it is nice to see them in their rules videos, the disheveled Polish people talking about the rules of Bloodfield.
I love it.
Which is nice. They're definitely, if you like 3D printing or were thinking about getting it, they're one of the Patreons that I follow and I recommend following, because their stuff's top quality.
Yep. They've always been like that. I believe we've championed them for a long time. It's like those guys, Arena Rex, I think it's Going Native, Arena Rex, and Titanforge are the Game Classy approved.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, guys. They're just real nice, like small business. Like we approve of them. Yeah. Of course.
I like what they do. I think, and that's the thing too. I think there's a lot of, I think there's a good space. I like seeing small indie companies, being able to succeed. Cause I think conglomerates and, gestalt entities like Asmodee are going to ruin the industry far more than they already have. Like, they're like think of how, like, Fantasy Flight Games used to be a benchmark.
Yeah.
For a long time, Fantasy Flight Games was a benchmark. You would look at the, you would look at their games and you'd say, wow, like, this is a great game. They came out with, they had like a, you know, a reasonable release schedule. And then, like, it, so it started to accelerate. Then they got bought by Asmodee, and now the now there's the, what Fantasy Flight Games even exist anymore?
No, not even really.
Yeah, like, they're gone.
Yeah, once they got bought out by Asmodee, it was all over. It was like it tanked their entire company.
Yeah. So when you see smaller companies, like, and you like the design, and like, and you like games designed by people who play and love games, you owe it to yourself, if you want that kind of game, to support those companies. Like, I love the cool alternate army. Like, we've talked about it before, where I have a thing where I hate goofster armies, like the Monty Python Bretonians. Like, I hate that kind of stuff. But I think alternate armies, like the undead orcs or the pirate ogres, are awesome. Like, I think those kind of alternate armies are great. And to see a company that does a full, and the Amazon army too. I forgot that an army that it counts as Lizardmen, but like, it's cool Amazon figures. Like, that's sweet. Like, that kind of stuff I really like. And to see a company that just goes ham onto that idea is great. And then now to see them make their own game, that's exciting. Like, that's super exciting. And you'll be able to see some fun things. And, you know, I want to see those companies thrive and not become the next Fantasy Flight and be a company that, you know, made games that were great and, like, you know, people love them, and now they're just a ghost of what they used to be.
Someone that you used to know.
There's someone that I used to know. Like, seriously, like, the Fantasy Flight page, like, going look at their games is like, wow. Like, they're such a ghost of what they used to be.
Yeah.
Sorry, I hope my microphone is, can you,
oh, you just got louder.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I mean, that wasn't a problem. It was just like, I suddenly could hear you better.
No, I'm sorry. My microphone, like, got unplugged really quick, and I had to plug it back in.
Okay. I see.
Yeah. So hopefully this won't screw up everything. Like I normally do with the podcast.
Everything's ruined now.
I did have someone who, texted me or messaged me, and they wanted to know just some of the 3D printers that I follow, some of the files that I've been really liking. The main one I really dig is this company called Monstrous Encounters. They have a Patreon, and they do like old school, like old hammer style multi-part plastic kits that are fantastic. Like, they did a Wood Elf army and like undead stuff, but they're all kind of like designed for rank and file fantasy.
Okay.
I dig them quite a bit. They do a lot of stuff that looks like old HeroQuest or Battlemasters. But they're nice files. They're really done really well. They also have a 40K Adeptus Arbites army that they did that look like the old Judge Dreads.
Cool.
Yeah. I like Gamak is his name. On a My Mini Factory, he does a lot of like really cool stylized individual figures for like a 40K or a fantasy army. Mm. And then there was another guy. Oh, let's see if I could find him amongst my. I don't really remember all of their names, but the he's a guy, and he does like gorgeous work, but just every once in a while, like, he just does these like once every 3 months, he was like, here's a fuck ton of files about dinosaurs. And you're, that's, I'm awesome. Just, I'm like, I, okay. You know? Why can't I find him right now? No, that's not him. But yeah, it's like every once in a while, it's just like these gorgeous, he does these gorgeous figures, like beautiful sets. And then it's just like, dinosaurs, and they're not like stylized like fantasy dinosaurs. They're like dun 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 dun.
Well, hey, you know, for the longest time, like, people seem to forget too, but like, for a very, very long time, one of the normal foes in Dungeons and Dragons was literally dinosaurs.
Well, yeah, because it was all just based off whatever they could get at the dollar store.
Right. So it's just like, yeah, Stegosaurus. There's a Stegosaurus in the dungeon.
there's a T-Rex. That's your final boss. I believe the T-Rex was actually one of the final villains in one of the early modules, and I can't remember which one I'm thinking of.
Probably. I mean, I could easily see that.
It was like, but they didn't call it a T-Rex. They called it, I think it was like a Carnosaurus or something.
A Titan Lizard.
Yeah, Titan Lizard or something stupid like that. I remember that. Hold on a second. Let me see if I could find who this guy is. I'm looking. Someone that I used to know. It is miserable outside in the city of Chicago, by the way, to our listeners at home. Outside, it is like 95 degrees and nothing but
humidity.
Ah,
yes. The joys. Look, man, everywhere sucks, okay? I know I dunk on a lot of places, but don't think that I think where I live is good.
Yeah. Pretty much. Pretty much on that end. Let's see.
While you're looking at that, did you select your favorite combiner for Transformers?
I did.
I
ended up going with Superion.
Superion, is it because of the name?
It's because of the name. He is the most superior of the combiners.
That's fantastic. That, if I remember correctly, Superion is made of all jet fighters, correct?
He's four jets and one helicopter.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
He also had
a redemption. He kind of had an arc in the cartoons, which is also part of the reason why I like him.
Okay.
Because like one of the guys was afraid to fly and he was a jet.
It's true. And he had a little character development.
Yeah. I mean, like, and that's like the most character development that ever existed in a Transformers cartoon up until Beast Wars.
That's probably accurate. other than the movie had a lot of character development. and Spike said shit.
And no, it wasn't Spike. I thought it was,
No, it was Spike. He said shit. He said, what the shit are we going to do now?
I thought it was, Robert Stack. Why can't I think of his name?
Ultra Magnus.
I thought it was Ultra Magnus who said that.
Spike says shit.
Oh, okay. And I literally just watched it the other day. Me and my son watched down because I got him Devastator.
Mm-hmm.
I got a Chinese bootleg of Devastator for nice. Him. And so I was like, oh, we got to watch this movie. It has Devastator in it. And, you know, they all combine Devastator.
Devastator fucking shines in that movie. Like,
yeah,
he's badass in Transformers the movie.
He's also one of the few combiners that's more than five.
Yes. Yeah, they're rare. I think he's six.
He's six.
So I have my choice is the Shuriking Dinobots combiner. Because they recently did...
I saw that one. It's very sweet looking.
Yeah, they recently did... It's six Dinobots, and they finally made them combine, which was always one of the biggest crimes of the Dinobots as toys as a kid. It's like, it's a whole... Because the Insecticons combined.
No, the Insecticons did not combine.
They did.
No, they did not.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, I'll have to look at this one.
Maybe I'm thinking of the...
The Predacons did.
That's what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of the Predacons.
You know, the Insecticons were like kind of the original releases opposite of the Dinobots, because the Dinobots were all Autobots and the Insecticons were all Decepticons.
I could have sworn there was but you know what? There's been more than one group of Insecticons.
Yeah, I'm going on G1.
That's what it is. There's been more than one group of Insecticons. So there's got to be something. I'd have to look.
No, there is. They did a combiner for them just recently. I'm looking.
Okay, that's from Combiner Wars.
Probably from.
Okay, Combiner Wars. They added them at the same time frame as the so they were the Decepticon they were the Decepticon equivalent of the robbery that the Dinobots not combining were. So yeah. You had the good guys who should have combined and didn't combine, and you had the bad guys who should have combined and didn't combine.
Well, I think part of it too was I think the. Because the Dinobots, there was four of the Dinobots, original Dinobots. It was a Triceratops, a Stegosaurus, a Brontosaurus, No, there were five.
There were five.
Yeah, there were five.
Yeah, they added a sixth for the combiner.
Yeah, and then the I think there was only three original Insecticons though.
For the original Insecticons, there were just three.
Yeah, yeah.
There was like waves.
Weevil.
I like weevils.
It was like a wasp, a boll weevil, and like a beetle.
There was a Hercules beetle for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I had the boll weevil guy, and I wanted the wasp, but
they're very cool. Okay, the second team was led by Venom. There was four in the second team of Insecticons.
Yeah, I showed my son that, and when he lost his shit over Devastator because Devastator is fucking awesome in that movie.
Yes, Devastator is cool as shit. I also specifically excluded the Combiner Wars ones that I feel were cheats, which was the Galvatron combiner and the Optimus Prime combiner.
Yeah, those are cheats.
I feel that those are cheats. Like, it's not fair. It's like, oh yeah, Optimus Prime combined with like the standard starting lineup of the Autobots. Yeah, okay. Like, I'm not counting that. That doesn't count. He doesn't even have a name as the full form. He's just Optimus Prime.
Well, yeah, because he's Optimus Prime.
Yeah. So those are not, I mean, and the Galvatron one looks fucking sick as shit. Like, definitely awesome looking, but still excluded because it's a cheat.
Yeah, I showed him. We watched the Transformers movie, and I showed him some G.I. Joe episodes, not the movie G.I. Joe. He loves the opening to G.I. Joe, like the extended opening where they're fighting all around the
fight for freedom wherever there's trouble. G.I. Joe is there.
Well, because it starts off with that bump, bump, bump.
Yeah. You know, and they're going down the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, they're going down the Statue of Liberty, and so, that's a sweet opening.
Yeah, like all those openings were done by like the openings of both Transformers and G.I. Joe were all done by top of the line Japanese animation
companies. Yeah, and then you actually watch the episodes, great. And you're like, what the fuck?
Those were not done by top of the line Japanese animation companies.
I was like, I just turned on a random G.I. Joe episode on YouTube, and it like starts off with with Spirit, the Native American G.I. Joe, fighting Storm Shadow. Like, and there's no explanation. They're just punching each other. Hell and, yeah. Like, Freedom, the eagle, comes down and is like, ah, and attacks. I'm like, this is a fantastic opening. I think it was for when they were doing I think it was the Weather Dominator episodes.
The Weather Dominator! Yeah,
exactly. And they're like all over the globe looking for the parts of the Weather Dominator. It's like, God, such
Cobra!
Such great Saturday morning, like, you know, memories watching that shit. And it's just like, I remember the Weather Dominator.
Actually, speaking of Spike saying shit, they actually did that specifically to guarantee a PG, exactly PG rating for that. Because it couldn't be G, because they needed the parents to be there to buy the toys after the film. And PG-13 would have been too old. And there's specific rules about G films can't be screened as P. If it's G, it can never be screened as PG or PG. There's very esoteric MPAA rules about your rating. So they had him say shit exactly once to specifically land on the PG rating, because that's what they needed to
make sure they
sold the toys. And then, much to their chagrin, many children left the theater crying because Optimus Prime fucking dies.
My son was like, is he dead? I was like, yeah. And he's like, wow. Because I mean, he doesn't have the emotional connection to Optimus Prime that many of us do.
Right. Or and, you know, he didn't watch the Transformers for years.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. He doesn't have that emotional connection.
Yeah, you can't be like, you know, this fictional character who I believed in and believed was undefeatable and always beat the bad guy actually got killed by the bad guy.
God, we're running out of...
Megatron kills the fuck out of so many Autobots in that movie.
Yeah. And that's part of the reason why I liked Bumblebee, was because the opening of Bumblebee was like almost like scene for scene the opening out of the Transformers movie.
I still got to see that movie. I heard it's really good.
It's if you just watch the opening, that's like it. Like, just watch that. I mean, the movie is fine. Mm-hmm. It's got a lot of great 80s references, like 80s Transformers references in it. Because like all the jets and everything look like the 80s, like Transformers. But the movie itself is relatively terrible. If like the movie should have just been the Transformers movie done in CG, and it would have been amazing.
Oh, that would have been sick.
Like if they updated the CG to look that good throughout the entire movie.
And just use Orson Welles' dialogue from the original.
Yeah.
And I guess Leonard Nimoy's. You have to use Leonard Nimoy's as well.
Yes. It's full of green penis.
Full of country goodness and green penis. Oh, wait. That's terrible. I'm leaving. Ah, just a handful for the road. Oh, God. They're even better frozen. The Critic. Oh, man. That's a show. I love The Critic.
That's also all on YouTube. We watched a couple episodes of that.
Did you see the episode where the flaming double-decker bus crashes into cats? And he's like, and nothing of value was lost. So many people don't know that the origins of And Nothing of Value Was Lost is from The Critic.
Critic, yeah. It stinks.
Oh, man, that's a show that I've seen people ask for a revival for, and I'm just like, why? There's no way they're going to be able to bring it back in, like, a meaningful way.
No.
Like it's not possible. You can't do it. Everyone involved in that show to make it great is either moved on or dead.
Yeah, and it's actually a very much a capsule of the mid-90s. Like, I don't think it would work in this day and age.
It'd be like trying to revive Duckman. You can't. Like, Duckman is great. Like, Duckman is perfect, but
no one is calling for the revival of Duckman, Steve.
People are calling for the revival of Duckman. People love Duckman. But that's the thing about a lot of those shows. They just don't work outside of their bubble. So, like, I think I get it's because people, you know, people have nostalgia, and nostalgia is valid, but people want to bring those things to the now, and you can't.
No, like, you can't.
It just doesn't work. If you love Duckman, if you love The Critic, just watch it. It's still available for you to watch. And in The Critic's case, it's free on YouTube. Yeah.
And I will end the episode on this. I finally sat down and watched Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer.
That movie's fucked up.
That movie is fantastic. And part of it that I
kind Terrific
of
film.
Which kind of freaked me out a little bit was that I had no idea how much it was filmed on the south side of Chicago.
Yeah.
Because, like, watching the movie, I was like, I know that place.
I've been there.
I grew up there. And when Henry walks in and he's like, give me a pack of Cools, I'm like, that's the brand my dad smokes. Then they're like drinking Old Style. I'm like, that's the beer my dad drinks. Oh, man.
that movie is very real.
That movie is so sickeningly close to where I grew up and how I grew up in the 80s. I definitely felt very, very weird after watching that movie.
It's an excellent film. I remember one of the biggest things they talk about in that movie did you watch the Joe Bob cut where he's talking about it?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, so you know he was talking about how, like, they were the ratings board was like, you can't have a movie where the bad guy gets away.
Yeah.
And he's just like, the director's like, nope, gets away. Yeah. No repercussions.
And it's amazing. Like, that end sequence is awesome.
Yes, that film is difficult to watch, but it is excellent.
See, I didn't think it was that difficult to watch. I mean, like, it wasn't very. It was very slow. It was a lot of burn to it.
I guess maybe difficult to watch isn't the right.
Yeah, I mean,
that film will stick with you.
It does stick with you. It does. Yeah.
If you're not ready for something to maybe disturb you and stick with you a bit, it's not worth. You shouldn't watch that movie.
I think part of the reason why I wasn't disturbed was because I'm like, well, this is just where I grew up. It's like murder. Who cares?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm completely numb to that shit nowadays. But if one is not a almost 24/7 horror aficionado, it's that's the other thing too. Like, horror movies are like horror fans watching movies is different than. Like, people who aren't horror fans who are watching a horror movie.
Oh, yeah.
There's few movies, and that's the reason why the only two films in history that have had widespread, huge box office smashes and were also having to be horror films were Frankenstein and The Exorcist. Those are the only horror movies that have ever had, like, huge phenomenon levels of financial success and universal success is because the horror genre just doesn't. It's usually for horror fans or for people trying to get lucky in Halloween season to bring their date to the movie theater to get them all spooked and horned up.
Yeah, exactly. All right, guys, go to the Game Classy Facebook page. Best way you can get in contact with us to comment. You could also check us out. The best way you can help us out is to like, comment, subscribe on the iTunes. You could also like, comment, subscribe on the YouTubes. Not that I don't think I put up the last two because the audio was so funky on them. I'm hoping the audio is better on this one. If not, hey, the quarantine's being lifted. I can go over to Steve's house in next 2 weeks. So if he lets me in.
We'll need to be 6 feet away, and you'll need to be in a mask with gloves.
Yes, I will have masks and gloves on 6 feet away. Actually, they've lifted that as of the end of next week. So,
not according to CDC guidelines, sir.
Oh, those CDC people.
You know, the people you're supposed to listen to the most during a pandemic.
as I think I said on the last podcast, it's like the CDC is like, if given the opportunity to speak on any situation, regardless if it was a pandemic or not, they would want us to stand 6 feet apart with gloves and masks on.
That's great.
That's their universal recommendation. Like, they're just like, people are listening to us now. At least 50% of the people are listening to us. The other 50% live in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Florida. And Georgia.
And Missouri.
Missouri.
Well, yeah, that Lake of the Ozarks video was pretty horrifying.
Lake of the Ozarks. Well, yeah, if anyone's seen Ozark, we'll tell you that. or just been by Missouri. There's only 49 states, Steve. I'll be damned if I recognize Missouri.
Thank you, Grandpa Simpson.
Yes. You could also check us out. Steve's on Twitter. What's your handle on Twitter, Steve?
Command_throw.
He did not get command throw. He got command_throw.
Yes, I did not get the other. That the original one is still somehow unusable, and that person has never tweeted, and they made their account in 2014.
Yeah, well, also, on the idea of command throws, I really, my son has been into Street Fighter lately.
Oh, nice.
He discovered my wife's SNES retro console, so he likes to play Street Fighter on it.
Nice.
He's a big fan of E Honda or Dalsim.
I loved E Honda when I was that. E Honda was my character I played on Super Nintendo.
Yes, and but you know, I try to let him win on occasion, but it's kind of hard. I kick his ass a lot of times.
Using Blanca?
I do use Blanca on occasion. I've been making it a little easier for him by playing the Geef.
Okay.
Because
Geef is not good in the Super Nintendo one.
Yeah, Geef is not good in the Super Nintendo one. But you know, and also I play a little bit of Ken now and then, because Ken was not good on the original Super Nintendo one either. He really likes it when they say the name of the country that you're playing in, because he's like, Japan!
That's right. Japan! Italy!
Italy! Spain!
Rain, you win.
But yeah, then I've been texting that to Pat. Pat has been very excited about that.
nice.
I think Pat's leaning into the middle class memes I've been sending him.
He should, because they're Pat.
I sent him one today where it's like a waiter talking to a white guy, and he's like, "What kind of salad dressing would you like?" And the Pat is saying, "What kind do you have?" And she goes, "Well, we have ranch, French, blue cheese, blah 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 blah." And then it's the white guy just going, "Ranch."
That is also very Pat.
It is, and I hope he appreciates it. He got so I think I hit a little too close to home when I sent him the one of him going like, "If it wasn't for the wind, it'd be nice out."
I also really like the one where it says rains, and he's like, "We really needed that."
Really needed that. Yeah, that's Pat 100%. But you can follow me on Instagram. I'm in Game Classy Joe on Instagram. It's also a good way that you can contact me. I know I do sell a lot of messaging through that one as well, because I'm on there quite a bit. So Steve, until the next time.
Buy my book. Buy my book. Buy my book. Buy my book. Buy my book.
Game Classy.